Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 1. As I mentioned a few moments ago, the message this morning really is leading up to this evening. Our theme this year, I thank Brother Robles, by the way. He's a fabulous painter. I've taught him everything he knows about painting. No, I have not, believe me. And a good man here, and he painted this for us, our theme, if you will, for us, as he did last year as well. And he did a beautiful job, and when you see him, commend him for it. And, you know, I know it takes a lot of hours, a lot of time. And he asked me, probably November, I guess it was, he asked me, "Preacher, what's the theme for the year to come?" And I said, "So run that ye may obtain." And we need people in the race. We need people to stick with the race and keep on running. And of course, the song that we just heard a moment ago, you know, kind of is following that theme. And some of the things that you'll see and hear tonight will kind of follow that theme. But this sermon here is issuing a call. Jesus, and in just a moment, I'll get to the reading in just a moment, but Jesus is issuing a call. You'll see that this morning. And he's calling us to go ahead and literally get in the race. That's basically what he's looking for. He's looking for people who just step up and say, "You know what, I'll run. I'll run the race. I'll run the race that you have for me. I won't go ahead and back. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to quit. Even in the face of criticism or mockery from the world or whatever, I'm just going to keep on going." You're going to see that a little bit here. Matthew chapter 1, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And I'm going to read, we'll read verses 16 through 20. We will read it responsively. I'll read, and then you read. Verse number 17 is our text verse, and I'll start reading in verse 16. "Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Our Heavenly Father, I sure do need you this morning. I ask you, Lord, to slow my mind down a little bit. A lot of things that I want to say this morning, a lot of things I want to help our people with this morning, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just lead, guide, and direct. Pray, God, you touch every heart. May you encourage us to get in the fight, the good fight of faith. If we're not, and if we are in it, I pray, God, we'll just keep on keeping on. Pray, God, we'll listen to your call. I pray, God, that you would just please bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message is found in verse number 17. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me." It's all Jesus had to say. And you're going to see that in just a moment. "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two men, a couple men. And as a matter of fact, they were brothers, the Bible says. They were fishermen. They were casting a net into the sea. I got to think, I don't know how long the Lord was there watching them. I don't know whether it may be just a split second. Maybe he just walked by and he just saw them. Maybe it was a couple hours. I don't know. I'm not sure if he stood there for a while as they were toiling, but this was the day for these two brothers that was going to change the whole course of their life. By the way, they were fishermen. They were ordinary people. And it was going to change the whole course of their life. Jesus spake to these two men here, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." The Bible says that straightway or immediately they forsook their nets and they followed him. Think about that now. You know, they've heard of Jesus. They probably maybe heard of Jesus and so forth. But, you know, here is this man, never met him or what have you, if you will, and come ye after me. And they went ahead, the Bible says, without any hesitation, without any apprehensiveness, without any doubt, there was something about that man. Jesus says, "I'll follow you. I'll follow you." You know, I like following strong leaders. You know, Jesus had something about him, no doubt, that said, "You know what, come ye after me." They forsook all, they left all, they left their nets, and I'll go ahead and follow you. I like that kind of man. I like lining up myself behind strong, biblical leaders, if you will, that's going somewhere, that has direction. But there was no hesitation with these men. There was no apprehensiveness. The Bible says that Jesus went a little further, and he saw two more brothers, James and John. They were mending their nets. The Bible says, similar situation, same request, "Come ye after me." And they sat there, and I don't know if they scratched their head, but the Bible, I think the Bible's teaching here, there was no hesitation in these two men either. There was no doubt. There was nothing holding them back. They forsook all, and they followed him. You see, one of Jesus' first acts was to choose 12 men who would help him in his earthly ministry. You know, by the way, as I mentioned a moment ago, these men were common men. They were common, ordinary people. There was nothing really special about these people. There was nothing out of the ordinary about these men. They were not highly educated. They were not especially wealthy. They were not necessarily the movers and the shakers of that society. Nothing set them apart from the thousands that lived around the Sea of Galilee. Yet the Lord said, come ye after me. The Lord chose them two, and then later on the other two, and come ye after me. And they forsook all, and they followed him. What a privilege to have been handpicked personally by God, saying, come on. Well, what a privilege that must have been. What a privilege that must have been. These men, 12 common men, nothing out of the ordinary, hardworking men, that is all. And by the way, today our Savior's still calling people. He's still calling people. And it's not necessarily people that'll necessarily go to Haiti, if you will, to be a missionary, or to the jungles of Africa to be a missionary, or to go to New York City to be a missionary, or Chicago, or something else. It's not necessarily that. Now, it may be that God is tugging some young person's heart, perhaps, to go ahead and go off into the ministry somewhere. It may be, and boy, when he calls, and if he says, come ye after me, young person, don't go ahead and hesitate. You know, let me tell you something. The will of God is the safest place you can be in, amen? And don't hesitate, but it might be that he might just want you to do a little bit more. It might be that he's just want you to be more faithful. It might be that he wants you to read a little more Bible. He might be just saying, come ye after me. Give me all you got. Maybe you might be up in years and so forth, and you don't have all the stamina that you once did, if you will. And that's okay, but maybe the Holy Spirit's just kind of saying, hey, keep on keeping on. You be a good example to those underneath. You be faithful. You be in your place. And maybe it could be that it doesn't matter who we are. We could step up a little bit more. All of us might have a little bit of room for improvement. But you know, the Savior today is still calling people. And yet we feel sometimes we have to, I've got to meet certain requirements. You know, Jesus, you know what? He was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He saw two guys there. You know what? Nothing special about these guys. He says, just simple four words, come ye after me. No certain requirements there. Sometimes we'll use our inability not to follow the Lord. Well, I can't do that. You know, let me just say this. God's not interested in what you can't do. He's interested in what you can do. Well, you ought to take that. He's not interested in the things that you can't do. I understand not everybody can go ahead and preach and get up behind a pulpit. By the way, I thought that at one time. If you'd have told me when I was 15 years old that at 30, you figure out the other number there. At 30 some odd years old that I would be pastoring a church, standing behind a pulpit, preaching to people, I'd have told you, in all due respect, you're crazy. I'd have told you that. Nuh-uh, not this guy. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody necessarily will do that. Not everybody necessarily will drive a bus. Not everybody necessarily will teach a Sunday school class. But you know what? Everybody can do something. God's not interested in what you can't do. He's not going to go ahead and give you something that you're not able to do, if you will. But you know what? He's interested in what you can do. It might be that you can be faithful to your spot, if you will, every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It might be that you can go ahead and read more Bible. It might be that you can teach a Sunday school class. It might be that you can go ahead and drive a bus. It might be that you can work in a nursery or sing in the choir. It might be something along that line. But the truth of the matter is, you know, go ahead and do something. If the Savior, and by the way, he's still in the calling business today. If he's saying, come ye after me. Oh boy, go. Follow him. Follow him. He's calling today. He's not interested in what you can't do. He's interested in what you can do for him. He's looking for common people who will just simply obey the call without apprehension and without hesitation and just follow. And just follow. He is calling men and women to come to himself for salvation. It may be here today. You may be here sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. You don't know Jesus as Savior. Boy, that's a start right there. You've got to follow him and give him your whole heart. Boy, it starts at salvation. You got to understand that you're a sinner. Understand there's a price on sin. Understand that Jesus, he died on the cross, and he paid the price of your sin. And all you have to do, you don't have to go ahead and do a bunch of work for it. All you have to do is simply open up your heart and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And for forgive me of all my sin. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's still calling people to salvation. He's still calling for lost souls for salvation. That's why, church, that's why, Christian, we must keep on being soul conscious and realizing there's a world that's dying and going to hell, the Bible teaches, and so forth. We must be soul conscious. We must be busy passing out the tracts. We must be busy outdoor knocking and telling people about Jesus, because he's still calling for men and women to himself for salvation. He is calling for people for service. You know, I mentioned it just a moment ago. He's calling for someone maybe to say, hey, I can work in the nursery. Hey, I can go ahead and I can be in my place every time the church doors are open. I can maybe work on a bus. I might be able to tinker a little bit on a bus. I can maybe even sweep a bus. I might be able to be a helper in a Sunday school. I don't know what it is, but he's still calling for someone to service. Hey, you know, I remember taking that point, if you will, of service again. You know what? He was looking for something bigger than that for me. And not everybody, don't misunderstand, not everybody will go ahead and go into full-time Christian. I understand that. But let me tell you something. What a wake-up call it was to me when he says, I want you to be a preacher, huh? God, I think you got the wrong number. You know, no, I got the right number. You know, and by the way, it might be that he's working on some heart today of some young man or some young lady saying, you know, I'll go. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go into full-time Christian service, if you will. You know, he's calling for people to be set apart for the work that he has for you to do. Hey, my friend, this morning, is he calling you? You know, that little prick in your heart right now, you know, it's not the preacher picking at you, but it's the Holy Spirit of God. Is he calling you for something? And does he want you to go ahead and do something great for him? Hey, church member, is he calling you this morning? Hey there, teenager, could he be calling you this morning? Sometimes I wonder if he's calling. Sometimes we're just not listening. Sometimes we turn a deaf ear on our Savior. Sometimes our pride will keep us from answering the call. I don't want to. I've been there. That's why it took me so long to get through Bible college, because I really didn't have my heart set on ministry. Not really. Not early on. When God shook me up back in the mid-90s, he shook me up a little bit and says, you know what, it's time to go ahead and get your act together. Now, that was for me personally. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, don't turn a deaf ear to him. Boy, you know, let me just say, it's a joy to follow the Lord. And it doesn't matter what capacity it is. All of us, listen, all of us here this morning can do something. We can do something. Doesn't matter what it is. Boy, the list, you know what? The line is long for service to God. The line's very long. You know, I mean, the list, I should say, is long for service to God. That's what I meant to say. But sometimes the line is short. That's what I meant to say there. The list is very long. There's so much that we can do. You know, it might be cleaning the church building for a month. It might be whatever the case may be. You know, hey, there's so much that we can do. All of us can do something for God. It's a joy to do his will. It's safe to be in the center of God's will. You know, I say this morning. How often I say it, because I know it. Boy, I am in the safest place that Sean Weeks can be this morning. Right in the center of God's will. Whether it be Faith Baptist Church Carver or the jungles of Africa, if that's what God wants me to do, that's a safe place. God will take care of you. And whatever it is, you know what, boy, you ought to follow the Lord. I wonder if you're here this morning, he may be calling some lost one. You don't know Jesus as personal Savior. You don't know for sure if you're to die today that you'd go to heaven. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life by simply believing in the name of the Son of God in 1 John 5:13. You can know it. You don't have to sit here and say, well, I guess I'm going to heaven. No, the Bible says you can have a no-soul Christianity. You can know 100% sure that you have eternal life in heaven. And one day you'll walk up and down the street of gold, and one day you see the gates of pearl, and one day you'll attain that mansion that God is preparing in my Father's house, the many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again one day. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I love that scripture. Boy, John 14:1-3. Boy, you ought to take that time. I love that, because one day he's coming for me. Amen. I'm a child of God. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day, you know, he's going to part the clouds. And one day he's going to come for me. And I thank God that where I am, He is, there I'll be with him. I look forward to that day. Hey, you know what? It might be that he's calling some lost one. You don't know Jesus as Savior, but you've deafened your ear to that call. You maybe stopped ears, and you know, and you know, and you know your heart. Well, let me tell you something. Today's the day of salvation. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, why don't you just say, come ye after me, follow Jesus, and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And later on, someone will show you from the precious Word of God. It's not a Baptist way. It's not a Catholic way. It's not a Presbyterian way. It's not a Jewish way. Hey, it's the Bible way. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It's the Jesus way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, you know what? You can know you're saved this morning. Hey, I wonder if he's calling a teenager, as I've mentioned through this message, to full-time service. But teenager, you got your own plans. You got your own desires. You got your own ideas of what you want to do. You got your own agenda. And every time he pricks at you, nope, nope, nope. Hey, I did that for a while. I did that for a while. I kind of deafened, you know. He says, Sean, come on, come ye after me. You know, and I started out, but yeah, you know, just wasn't quite in line with it. But I thank God he got a hold of me. Wonder if he's calling some prospective soul winner to soul winning today, to win the lost to Christ, but are you turning a deaf ear? Says, come ye after me. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he ascended into heaven, he's left for us a job for us to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. It might be that he's calling a prospective soul winner to win the lost this morning. It might be he's calling a bus worker, a driver, a nursery worker, a choir member. But we have our own desires, don't we? I don't have time. I got my own life. I don't have the time to give. I don't have the time to work for the master. Boy, listen, let me say this, church. I thank God that he's always open and available to me. Boy, you know what? It'd be good if we'd make ourselves available to him this morning. It doesn't matter what it is, but you can do something this morning. Whatever the Holy Spirit's leading, you can do something this morning. Boy, I encourage you, if he's calling out to you, and he may go ahead and he's going to talk to you specifically, and he may call out your name, so to speak, not audibly, but to your heart, he may say, hey, come ye after me. Hey, how will you respond? I wonder who might be turning a deaf ear this morning concerning your eternity, your service, or your life. I plead with you, don't turn a deaf ear on him. If Jesus walked by the heart of your door this morning, and he asked you, come ye after me, how will you respond? How will you answer him? What will you do? Would you be willing, as we see great examples here, would you be willing to stop all and follow close to the Savior? Or would you turn away from his call? I can't, God. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ. I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I want to give you five attributes about his call on come ye after me this morning. Number one, his call is personal. I think this is evidenced by the fact that he walked up to those boats and called on these four men specifically. He called on them specifically. No doubt there were other boats anchored there. Who's to say he couldn't have gone to some other boat? Who's to say he couldn't have gone to some other couple men or what have you on some other boat? But he went to a specific boat. He saw a couple men out there casting their nets into the water. And he said, hey, Simon. Hey, Peter. Hey, Andrew, rather. Come ye after me. And I look here and I say, okay, they must have hesitated somewhere. But the next verse says in straightway. Immediately, they forsook all. He goes on a little bit further, and he says, hey, James, hey, John, come ye after me. And I look again, but I see in verse number 20, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. You know what? These two guys, a little bit different scenario, same idea, but, you know, hey, Dad, well, you know, we got a call here, if you will. Jesus over there saying, come ye after me. We're going to leave the servants and Dad, we'll see ya. I mean, whoa, all of a sudden. What a life-changing day, if you will, moment. He does the same with us. The call of the Lord is a personal matter. He calls us and deals with us, and he does so one-on-one. It might be, again, this morning, he's working on your heart. You know, it's a pointed call. You know, it's a pointed call. This is not part of my points, but you know what? It's kind of, you know, you ever seen the picture of Uncle Sam? I want you. You know what? It's a blessed thing when Jesus goes ahead and in your own heart says, I want you. I want you to serve me. I want you to be faithful. I want you to give me all you got. I want you to go ahead and keep me focal point in your life. And I want you to get in the race so that she may obtain. I want you to keep on running. I want you to endure. You're going to, as the Bible says, Paul to a young Timothy, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to endure some struggles. But I want you to keep running the race with me. I want you to follow me. He calls these men. He finds them working. Peter and Andrew are busy casting their nets. James and John are busy mending their nets. You know, he called on them specifically. In analyzing the call, you know, I got thinking about this. It seems what these men, each of these four men were doing at the time Jesus called them, perfectly fit their personalities. You see, if you read the history of Peter and Andrew, Simon and Andrew, and if you went ahead and you read the history, I mean, and just read about each and every disciple, you'll see that they had all different personalities. You know, it's kind of a balance, if you will. For instance, Peter and Andrew in their ministry were constantly busy casting the gospel net. What were they doing at the time? Jesus, come ye after me. They were casting the net, if you will. And they were busy, and in their ministry, they were busy casting the gospel net. And it seems that they would always be preaching fiery sermons or witnessing to people one-on-one. That was their type of person that they were. Now, let's flip the coin over for a minute. James and John were more interested in mending the nets to make sure that the fish they caught did not swim away. Showing me that their main emphasis was a growth of the body of Christ in the church. You know, both of these type of personalities are needed in the church today. Yes, you know what? We need at Faith Baptist Church, and my goal and my desire, if you've been around any time, for any period of time, many of for a long time, you know, you've been around a while, amen? But the truth of the matter is you'll hear fiery sermons, but with an atmosphere of love, preaching the truth in love. But on the other side of the coin, you know what? We also want to be busy reaching for the broken families and helping mend them, mend their lives together, and broken people and mending their lives together. Hey, you know what? It's called balance. Boy, we need to be busy finding what we can do for God right here in the local church, and whatever God wants you to do, boy, you ought to go ahead and follow. Hey, number one, his call is personal. Number two, his call is private. Jesus passed by that day. The real call was felt at the hearts of four fishermen who left all and followed. Their hearts, no doubt, were touched as they felt a strange power drawing them to follow the Lord Jesus. Verse number 20, you notice that neither Zebedee or his servants received the call. On the second ship, as Jesus went a little further along the sea and saw James and John, you know, there were notably, and maybe on the other ship as well, but we know that there were some other people there on the second ship. We know that Zebedee was there, the father. We also know that there were some servants there. Jesus didn't say, Zebedee, come ye after me. He didn't say necessarily to any of the other servants, whoever was there, come ye after me. He was specific. James, John, come ye after me. It's a private call. The call is the same with any of us who are called today. No one knows what is personally and privately going on in your heart right now, but you and God. It might be right now that God is just, Holy Spirit of God is working on your heart some way, some fashion right now. And he wants to do something great in your life, but we kind of resist, and our pride maybe causes us to resist. No, I don't want, I can't do this. I can do all things. Boy, we must remember to go ahead and submit to him and allow him to have free reign, if you will, in our hearts. And no one knows what's going on right now in your heart until you make it public. The Lord has been dealing with the hearts of these men since the first time that Jesus came on the scene. I think that is why they reacted so quickly, from what I see, so quickly to that call, come ye after me. What's the Lord saying in your heart right now? Hey, mama, daddy, what's the Lord saying in your heart right now? Hey, church, remember, what is God saying in your heart right now? Hey, young person, what is God saying, trying to come across to you, showing you in your heart right now? Hey, lost one, is he calling you to come after him to salvation? Hey, Christian, is he calling you to some aspect of the ministry or service? Is he calling you to, maybe in some cases, to leave all and just follow him? He's calling you right now. Don't ignore the call. Number one, his call is personal. Number two, his call is private. Number three, his call is public. The Lord does his work in private. He does not get the glory until it's made public. Let me say that again. The Lord does his work in private, but he does not get the glory till you make it public. You know, when I was called to preach, I remember the very day, the very time. I was going through some things as a young man and different things, and in a very difficult time, if you will. And the preacher said, "What's going on in your heart? What's going on, man?" And I said, "Pastor," I said, "I know God's called me to the ministry." He said, and I was very blunt, and I admitted, I said, "But I'm fighting it." "What are you fighting it for?" Because I was, again, very pointed. I said, "I don't want to go into the ministry." And he went ahead and said some of the things that he told, that I'm preaching and teaching this morning. He says, "Man, the safest place you can be is where God wants you to be." You know, and he prayed with me, and he helped me for a little while. He says, "Now, you know what? You need to make that call public." You know why? You know why we ask when we have young people and go off to youth conference, and they come back, and they, boy, God just did some great work in their heart. And you know why they stand up here on that Sunday evening and they tell what God did in their hearts that week? Well, of course, Jesus called people to do things publicly, if you will, but it also allows us to be a part of them. It allows us to be able to pray for them. Because let me tell you something. You know some of the decisions that have been made through our teens' lives here this last summer, for instance. You know, church. If you were here, they testified and so forth. Let me tell you something. You think the devil's very happy with some of these young men going into the ministry? You think the devil's very happy about some of these young men, ladies, saying, "I want to go off to Bible college"? You think the devil's very happy about some young men, some ladies, say, "I want to live clean and pure. I want to do right. I want to change some things in my life. I want to live for the Lord. I want to follow him wholeheartedly"? You think, no, the devil's not very happy. Let me tell you something. The devil's going to do everything he can to go ahead and knock them out of God's perfect will, to have them follow his will or their own agenda. That's why we need to pray for them. That's why I think public decisions, one reason why I think public decisions are important, so that we can go ahead. You know what? When we see folks saved, it's written on a little card, and we say, you know, so-and-so got saved and so forth. That's a good thing. You know what? That allows us to be able to be part of their Christian life in prayer. We get to go ahead and pray for them. Let me tell you something. Well, any lost soul, any boy, girl, any teenager, any adult that comes to Faith Baptist Church and gets saved, do you think the devil's happy about that? No. He's not happy about that. You know, God's call is public. The Lord will do his work in private, but he does not get the glory until it's made public. These men were called to make a public stand for Christ. They were called upon to publicly line themselves up with Christ and his doctrine and his program. They would be loyal to Jesus and the program he had laid out. And by the way, they did it willingly. They followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They didn't fuss. They didn't whine. They didn't complain. Yeah, there was one rebellious guy in the midst of all the crowd later on, Judas and so forth. But you know what? On the most part, you'll see these guys, whatever Jesus wants me to do, hey, I'm here to assist him. I'm here to go ahead and help him. He is God's man, if you will. And I'm going to go ahead and help him. And I'm going to line up with him. Our relationship with Christ would be so much sweeter if we just learned to line up with him. You know what? You know, when we get out of line with God, that's when some pressure starts coming generally. And by the way, we'll have pressure in line or out of line, but you know what? That's when the blessings stop pouring out. You know, he's not going to reward sin. You know, when we backslide, when we get out of line with God, you know what? That's not the makings of a very precious, sweet relationship. But you stay in line with God, whether you go through valleys or whether you go through mountaintops, you just stay in line with God and you make him focal point. You keep on running that race, if you will, so that you can obtain. You keep the cross before you. You keep Jesus before you. You keep on running. Yeah, you're going to stumble. Yeah, you may fall down. The Bible says the just man falls 7 times and riseth up again. They keep on going ahead and brushing off, and they keep on running. They get back into the game, if you will, and they keep on keeping Jesus the focal point, the author and the finisher of our faith. We'll talk about that later tonight, but the truth of the matter is, you know, you just keep on running. You keep on lining yourself up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be blessed. Your relationship would be so much sweeter, but we often fight him. The Holy Spirit tries to work at cutting some things away. Bible says in John 15 how he does that. He'll prune. It talks about the farmer, if you will, pruning trees and so forth. Why do they prune? So they can bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit. There's different stages there, if you will. The Holy Spirit, when we get saved, he lives inside us and he's there to go ahead and convict us. And yeah, he'll get that pruning knife out once in a while. In my case, often. I'll admit it. Get that pruning knife out and say, start cutting through. Ouch! Ah, that one hurt. You know what? The truth of the matter is, he's bettering you. He's strengthening, he's refining you, the scripture says. Don't fight him. Well, we need Christians to stand up. We need Christians to buck up today. We need Christians who will line up with Christ. We need Christians who will not be ashamed of Christ on the job, at the school, or at home. They'll just go ahead and line up, and they'll just live for God, and they'll take a stand even when the mockery comes. A lot of us have been mocked, haven't we? Because of the way we act, we're saved, and we're trying to live for God. We're clean cut, and boy, all things have changed. The old man's put away. We're a new man in Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches. But you know what? It's sometimes tough being the new man. Sometimes tough living that new man life, if you will. The old world go ahead and mock at you and scoff at you and so forth. They did Jesus, too, and he made it. Amen? And he finished the course. They did Paul and too, and he'd been shipwrecked, and he'd been stoned, and he'd been cast out of cities, and he'd been mocked at. But you know what? He went ahead and he finished the course. He endured hardness as a good soldier. He endured the mockery. Hey, you know what? If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to face some mockery. You're going to face some tough times. You're going to face some trials. You're going to face some heartaches. But you know what? You just keep your testimony right. You keep portraying a life that is Christ-like, a spirit that is Christ-like. You have a Christ-like walk. You have a Christ-like talk. You live in the world that is headed for a crisis eternity, a world that is trapped in darkness. People are lost. They need your help this morning. They need your testimony. It may be that the lost world, it may be to the lost world that you're the only Bible they'll ever read. And the truth of the matter is they need your testimony. They need you to go ahead and keep that armor on, as Ephesians chapter 6 says. They need you to put on the whole armor of Christ. They need you to go ahead and, as you run your race, and yes, you do fall, you know, because people are looking at you. People are going to see, hey, when the trials come to that individual, they say they're saved and the life's been transformed through Christ, and that's true. But when the battles come, get weary of the battle, what do? You just stay down? And you know, the truth of the matter is, you may be the only Bible that lost person on the job will ever read. And listen, I'm for confrontational, so the Bible teaches. I'm for going door knocking, telling people about Jesus Christ. But sometimes, you know what? The truth is, let me just say this. Your testimony ought to speak volumes to the lost world. They ought to see Jesus in you. They ought to see that there's something different about you by the way you act. By how you behave. You may be the only reflection of Christ that they see. Question, does the world see Jesus in you? When you go to the workplace tomorrow, will they see Jesus in you? Will they see that you stand publicly and unashamedly? It says, come ye after me. But when it comes to the jobs, it's easy Sunday morning. Because you're around everybody that's pretty much alike on Sunday morning. But boy, come Monday morning, where's our Bible? Where's our stand? Where's our armor? Hey, you know what? We need to line up with Jesus this morning. Hey, our call is a public call. The call is personal, it's private, it's public, and it's also a pricey call. This call is never meant to scare anybody, by the way. It's not meant to go ahead and hurt anybody. But often when we do not answer the call, the reason why we don't answer the call, rather, is when we see people hurting and going through it, they're saved and they follow the call of God, and it just seems like things just didn't go their way. I don't know. And the truth of the matter is, you don't even know. You know what? You don't even know what's going on in their heart. How often, listen to me, how often I've seen people that answered the call of God, and yes, it is a pricey, yes, it's sacrifice. Yes, it is a pricey call. And yes, they've gone through some different things, but boy, let me tell you something. When you go ahead and you talk to them godly people, they'll say, boy, God's been so good. Boy, you know what? I've gone through some trials, but boy, he's shown me some wonderful truths from the Word of God through them trials. He's taught me some things through them trials. He's allowed me to go ahead and teach others because of the trials that I went through. Boy, you see the grace of God. Sometimes we look from a distance and say, well, you know what, they follow the call of God. They seem to be hurting. They don't seem all that happy. But the truth of the matter, did you even ask them? The truth of the matter is most of the time they'll go ahead and say, yeah, it is difficult, but boy, it's worth it. It's worth seeing what God is doing. Yeah, we have trials. Let me just say this. How often I say this, don't squander a burden. Don't squander it. If you're going to go ahead and live for God, yes, you will have some trials, but don't squander that trial. Well, you know what? Okay, maybe you are down, and boy, it's not always fun, and I understand that, but take that burden and learn from it so that you can teach somebody else, because let me tell you something. God may have given you that burden for you to teach someone who's going to go through it later on. He may have. You know, and I don't mean to be repetitious, but, you know, why did we have cancer go into our home in 2006? Was it glamorous? Was it fun? No. It hurts. But you know what? We can sit back a little bit now and see God's hand through it all. We can see those that have been saved as a result of my wife having cancer a few years ago. We've had the privilege of leading people to Christ who has gone through cancer. We've had the privilege of going to the bedside of people that are going through cancer and family members that are going through cancer and helping and comforting them. You know why it's so easy for us to do that? Because we've been through it. The truth of it might, no matter what it is, it may not be cancer, it might be other health issues, it might be something else, but the truth of the matter is, it may be God has put you in a trial, kind of refining you, kind of maybe cutting away some things, and it hurts. He's trying to teach you something. He's trying to allow your life to maybe teach the next generation, teach those that will follow after. You know, it can be a pricey call. The truth, following the divine call of God is the most wonderful, that truth is the most wonderful thing that can happen to you. These disciples were called to make expensive choices. Think about it. These men went to work, doing what they knew very well, fishing. It was their living. Jesus passes by, come ye after me, and straightway and immediately they followed. Pretty pricey call. They were going to leave their friends to follow Jesus. They were going to leave their family to follow Jesus. They were going to leave their livelihood and their fortune, if you will, to follow Jesus. They were going to leave the very life that they'd ever known to follow Jesus. You know, I admire missionaries. I'm talking about those that literally leave. We have missionaries in the United States, but I'm talking about the foreign missionaries that literally are called by God. Jesus says to them somewhere along the way, come ye after me. And boy, they do everything they can to follow him. And they train and they do whatever and they go on deputation. Why? Because they want to follow after Christ. To go to a foreign mission field. Leaving their homeland. Leaving the land of the free, the home of the brave. Leaving their mama and their daddy, perhaps. Leaving their aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpas. And I'm not looking at the downside of all that, but the truth of the matter is the call of God is the greatest thing. I admire them because, yes, it is sacrifice, but the Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that good and perfect will of God? Hey, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? It is can be a pricey call. These men here that were called by Jesus, you know, they left all. They were expected to trade in the certain for the uncertain. They were expected to go ahead and trade in the visible for the invisible. They didn't know what was down the road. I mean, they knew every day that, boy, they had a ship that they went to. It was their workplace, if you will. They had nets. They had a routine every day. It was their livelihood. And they knew, they saw what they were going to do every day to face some things that they're not sure of. They were going to trade in the known for the unknown. They were going to trade in their ability for inability. They were going to trade in the possible for the impossible. These men knew their trade of fishing inside out, but were helpless when it came to doing what Jesus called them to do. You know, listen, sometimes when God works in a church member's heart, a Christian's heart, of course, you know, he desires, of course, Christianity starts at salvation, and the Bible says that first step of obedience after salvation is baptism, and then go ahead and tell others about him, and get into church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, open your heart, and learn, and grow, and serve. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Sometimes as you are growing in this Christian life, and God reveals some things to you, you know, you say, I don't know how to do that. You know, it might be, you know, how often when I would go ahead and approach a new worker for some position, if you will, maybe a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker, different things. I don't think I can do that. You know what? Sometimes, you know what? We get kind of out of our comfort zone. But you know what? If you would allow God to go ahead and help you in that new endeavor that he has laid on your heart, you know what? You'll do some wonderful things. You know, listen, I'm thinking of people right now in this church. Thinking of people right now who said, man, if I was going to be, if you told me a couple years ago I'd be teaching a Sunday school class, uh-uh. I'm thinking of people right now that say, you know what, they're teaching a class. They're teaching a class. You told me I was going to go out door knocking, soul winning on a Saturday, and so I don't think so. Now they have the confidence in telling others about Jesus. Hey, you know what? That's where faith comes in. These men knew their trade of fishing inside out, but were helpless when it came to doing what God asked them to do. But that's where faith comes in. That's where, as I mentioned last week, you got to drain yourself of yourself and fill yourself up with him. God, I can't necessarily do this, but I know you can. The Bible teaches us we must deny ourselves, follow Christ. In our Christian life, we may not always know what lies ahead, but you know what? We know the one who does. We don't always see down the road, but you know what? We know that by faith, we know the one who does. Jesus understands totally the sacrifice you make when you forsake your dreams and follow him. After all, he sacrificed all for you. He knows exactly that kind of sacrifice that you go through. He paid a huge price for you. He left his home in heaven for you. He left his father for you. He was born in a manger bed for you. He walked on this earth and he felt the pain that you feel. He bore the torments of the cross. He took that cat of nine tails. He took the mockery. He took the crown of thorns. He took the scourging, the spat upon, the nails in his hands and feet. He sacrificed, and he paid a high price for you. No question, why wouldn't we want to give back something to him? You know, in our Christian life, we ought to be stronger this year than we were last year. We ought to be. We ought to be, our prayer life ought to be stronger this year than last year. It shows we're growing. Our Bible reading should be stronger this year, more of it, if you will, this year than last year. Why wouldn't we want to give back to him? Why wouldn't we want to sacrifice our time, our talent, our tithe for him? Why wouldn't we want to fully put our faith of our life in his hands? After all, he is the one that gave the breath to you. He's given you breath today. Why not give him something today? He's the one that gives you life every single day. It's placed in his hands. Yeah, the call is pricey. The call is sacrifice. It will come with a price tag. But let me tell you something, my friend. It's not near a bigger price tag as he paid for you. Hey, I ask you, won't you go ahead and follow him this morning? Come ye after me. Then my last point here, the call is powerful. You know, these men immediately stepped out of the ship and went after Jesus. What a powerful change they experienced. When they went ahead and they left all, forsook all immediately, what a powerful change in their life. When they left all, this powerful change resulted in doing what Jesus was doing. And you ask, preacher, what's that? They started walking. Let me explain. I'm going to take the black mic, I guess. This is the one I grabbed. What they started doing, they started walking. They started out after him. They started walking his direction. They started following his lead. They were going to the places he was going. They were going to the destination he was going. In other words, there was a great change in the lives of these men. Their walk changed. Their talk changed. Their agenda changed. Their desires changed. Everything changed. And by the way, you'll never go wrong following Jesus. You'll never go wrong at all. When following close to him, your friends will change, by the way. When you decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to allow, you know, we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. That means that our walk will change, our talk will change. That means he's forefront in our lives as we run this race in our lives, the spiritual race. He's forefront and he changes our lives, he changes our talk, he changes our walk. Everything will change. Our friends will go ahead and change. Our desires will change. Our heart will be transformed. Your thoughts will go ahead and change. Your actions will change. What you listen to will you change. What you watch will change. What you say will change. Where you go will change. Why? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He gives you a new life. He gives you a new direction. He gives you a new walk. He gives you a new vocabulary. He gives you new everything. If you have, the Apostle Paul met Jesus on the old Damascus Road, and his life was transformed. Amen. The Bible says, boy, after he got saved, immediately, you know what the Bible says, after he got saved, immediately, straightway, the Bible says, he got baptized, and he just went a-preaching. He started following God's will, and he started doing God's will, and he says, I'll never go ahead and turn back. He says to young Timothy, he says, you know what, you're going to face hardness, you're going to face afflictions, you're going to face some hard times, but I want you to be able to say with me, young Timothy, that when you get to the end of your life like I am now, I want you to be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. That's what we all ought to desire this morning. Boy, we ought to desire to be able to say the same words to the next generation who's following us because we decided, hey, I'll follow the call, no turning back. I'll do what God wants me to do no matter what it is. I'll do whatever he wants me to do at Faith Baptist Church. I'll do what is right in the home. I'll do what is right at school. And I'm not going to go ahead and turn back. Come ye after me. Okay, God, I'll follow. I'll follow. And as you follow each and every day, each and every year, each and every month, each and every decade and so forth, until the very day that you die, hopefully, Lord willing, by the grace of God, you've lived the kind of life that you can say to your children, to the generation that's following you, listen, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. I don't know about you. That's my goal. I want to be able to say to my children whom God has given me to raise, I hope they see that, boy, Dad gave it all he got. Dad and Mom gave it all they got. They kept on running that race. I hope that as a pastor, I hope that you will say, boy, he honestly gave the preacher always, and he honestly gave everything he got. Hey, you know what? It is a very powerful call. You know, maybe you're here today, God's calling you, Christian. I don't know what it is, but you know. Maybe it's just to spend more time with him. Maybe it's to pray more. Maybe it's to show up soul winning. Maybe it's, I don't know. But you and God know. Maybe here today, unsaved one, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You can know it. But you can know the wonderful life of what it's like to be saved and knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. You can have a no-soul Christianity today like many in this room today. You don't have to sit here and say, well, I think I'm going to heaven. No, today's a day of salvation. I'm going to settle that thing. Hey, you know what? You can know it. Hey, whatever the call is, don't put it off. Some, you've experienced the call of salvation and along with it, the call of service. Hey, listen, God wants you to be keep busy doing something for him. If you're here today, you say, preacher, you know what? I'm in the category, man, I'm following God's call. I'm doing everything I can. You just keep busy then. Just keep busy. You just keep on doing what God called you to do. Don't tire. Don't get weary and well-doing. You just keep on keeping on. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah, the devil will discourage you, but you just keep on keeping on. If you're here today and God's pricking your heart, Christian, to maybe do something, do more, come ye after me. Follow him. Follow him. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, won't you follow him in getting saved? Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. No doubt there were several ships out there at the port. They saw two men. The Bible says Simon and Andrew, the first two men. I don't know how long he was standing there. But at the shore, he calls out to them, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become as fishers of men. Nowhere do I see any hesitancy there. Nowhere do I see any apprehensiveness of them two men. The Bible says immediately they went ahead and forsook all. And they followed him. And God used them mightily. Jesus went a little further and he saw James and John. Also on that ship, there was other folks there. Zebedee, the father, other servants. But he was specific in his call. At this particular time, he didn't call Zebedee or them hired servants. He says, James, John, come ye after me. The Bible says they did the same as the previous two. Today, we can learn a lesson from that. You know, God is calling, come ye after me. If he's walking by, if he's walked by the door of your heart this morning and he's saying, come ye after me, how are you going to respond? Christian, can you maybe step up in some area? Christian, can you maybe walk with God? I don't know what it is, but you do. Why don't you decide today, you know what? I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. I'm gonna answer the call. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. He's saying, come unto me, come. Let someone show you from the precious word of God how you can know Jesus as Savior. And you know what, and get saved this morning. The greatest gift there is eternal life. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're trusting in a work, if you're trusting in church attendance, if you're trusting in a sacrament or baptism to get you to heaven, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus says, come to me in faith. Come to me with your open heart, and someone will show you from the word of God how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It might be you're here today, you don't know Jesus, and he says, come, come ye after me. Come, our Heavenly Father. Be sure to love you. Very simple, very direct message. Very specific. Yes, and it's very pointed. Lord Jesus, you point to us. You want us to answer your call, whatever it may be. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, whatever needs to be done this morning in this room, it'll be done. I pray, God, that will understand the personal call. And yeah, the price of the call. Yes, there is a price to be paid. But the price that we pay is not near as much as what you paid for us. And still you went willingly. Lord Jesus, whatever needs to be done, Holy Spirit, whatever needs to be done this morning, may it be done. Evening service at 6 o'clock. Hope you can be here. Going to kind of keep along with our theme that we had this morning. But I hope you can be here tonight. Choir, 5:10 is our choir practice. Love to see you there as well. And let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Brother Ron, would you come forward and close in prayer? And we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Brother Ron. And we'll go ahead and close in prayer now.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for church. Thank you for being able to come and hear your word preached, to have fellowship, to spend time with each other, Lord. And know we spend time with you. I thank you for this message this morning. I pray you just put it on our hearts. Help us as we go this afternoon and through this week, Lord, to stay close to you. And Lord, I just thank you for it. Thank you for our pastor. I pray you bless him, watch over him, bring us back safe tonight. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.